You know, this morning the chorus of that says, "While I bow low in humble submission, and my heart says amen to thy will." You know, we have to get pretty low to really obey from the heart the word of the Lord. But this morning, I just feel like the Lord has lively this week given me this thought about an obedient heart. And I pray that the Lord would help us each one. We all want to make it to heaven. I don't believe there's anybody here that doesn't want to make it to heaven. But you know, we've got to have an obedient heart this morning. And we've got to obey from the heart. And we've got to allow the Lord to have His place in our heart. And that requires a humble submission to all of His will. I want to read scriptures in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, starting in the 25th verse. We trust the Lord will just meet with us here this morning. It says, that's 36 and 25, Ezekiel. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart." Listen to the promise of the Lord to His people. This is a wonderful, awesome promise that God has given us. He said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." You know what that is? That's an obedient heart. That's a soft and a tender heart to the dealings of God. I'll take that stony heart. Stony is hard. It's unyielding to the Lord. It's many times unyielding to each other. And the Lord said, "I'll do that. I'll take that stony heart out of you, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you a soft heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." We live in a world today that the religious world says you can't walk in the statutes of God. You can do your best, but you can't really totally please God. You can only try. And yet the Lord said, "I'm going to put my spirit in you." That's something new. That's something a lot more than what we have. We can't please God in the flesh. It's impossible. But the Lord said, "I'm going to take that old stony heart out. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, and I'm going to put a new spirit within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." I love this writing here. He said we would be his people, and he would be our God. What more could we want from God than that? He goes on to say, "I will save you. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations." You know, the Lord tells us here, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to take out the heart. It's not something you can do, but I'll do it for you. And he said, then when I do all of that for you, you're going to loathe the sins. You're going to look back on those things with disgust and disgrace. And how could I? And what possessed me? You know, but the Lord wants to give us a new heart and a new spirit. And he wants to do that for us. "You shall loathe and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations." And moving on down to the 34th verse, it says, "And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by." You know, our life was like that at one time. desolate, was it not? A life without God is a desolate life. And it says, and they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. There's life there. There's beauty there. There's peace there. There's the hand of God there. There's that place where God dwells there. This land that was desolate shall become like the Garden of Eden. This is the scripture that's telling us this. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. You know, I believe maybe the Lord's speaking both some to them physical, but I believe this is a promise to His people that God is going to do some things for us. And we live in that day of promise this morning. You know, the Lord wants to do great and mighty things for every heart and every person. But it requires an obedient heart. It requires, as we read in the song, while I bow low in humble submission, and my heart says, Amen to thy will. You know, that this morning is the key, I believe, for God being able to do the things He wants to do. I want to look, one more scripture here. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. That's the promise of the Lord this morning. He said the heathen's going to know there's something really changed. There's something happened here. And they're going to know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. You know, I don't know where we're at in life this morning. And we may have ruin. And we may have... I want to tell you something. God's promise to us is, I want to build the ruined places. And I want it to be such a work that the heathen say that they look at that. And the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord... do that. That I, the Lord, build the ruined places. Isn't that a blessed promise this morning? The Lord wants to do that for us today. The Lord wants to bless our lives. But it comes from a humble heart of submission to Him in all things. Lord, however you deal with me, I want to have that humble heart of submission this morning. I want to look a little bit now at the unregenerated heart. And how it acts and what it does. In Jeremiah 17 and 9 and 10, we're most of us pretty familiar with this scripture. 17 and 9 and 10. I had a man one time. He was a teacher. And I don't look it down on him. I look at him with crying heart. Lord, have mercy on these ones. And him and his son would work on the job. And he would get mad and curse and swear and use the Lord's name in vain and then go to his place of worship. And he was a teacher there. And I feel for that because he told me, he said, you know what the problem is, don't you? And he quoted this verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, the Lord ponders. He searches the heart. The heart is the seat where our affections and our passions are. That's what drives us. That's what we allow into our life. That's our will, is where our heart is this morning. And the Lord said, this heart, the human heart, unregenerated, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, people hardly know their own heart, and many people don't. And even this man that I was speaking of didn't know his own heart. He knew it was wicked, but he just thought, that's what the word of the Lord says we're going to be. But the promise is to us that He'll take that stony heart out. And He'll give us a new heart, a heart of flesh, and He'll give us an obedient heart this morning. The scripture says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. You know what he's doing when he ponders on that and he looks at the hearts? He's looking at our affections and our passions and the things we give our heart to. We're looking at what we think. I think I'm okay. I think this is fine. I think that's fine. And you know, the scripture says every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Now, you know, this morning, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, what is your ways? Teach me your ways. Your ways are quite a bit higher than my ways and quite a bit above my thoughts. And I want to know your ways. The Lord pondereth the hearts. He's looking at this thing in here that drives the life. He's looking at this thing in here, this passion, this mind, this affection that causes us to do the things that we do. And he ponders that. He ponders that heart this morning. I want to read several scriptures here in 1 Samuel about Saul. 1 Samuel 15. I've been reading through this whole book, a lot of this book anyway, again. And it's been so interesting to see the things, how God dealt with Samuel and Saul and David. 15:1. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And so Samuel came to Saul and he told him that. Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you, and now he's got a job for you to do. Now get up and go and take care of this thing where these people transgressed my people. They transgressed me, and I want something done about it. And so he told him, gave him very clear instructions. And so Saul went, and it says verse 7, I'm going to read quite a bit here. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? You know, this morning, did Saul do what God said to do? God said, go down there and I want you to destroy all. It was very clear. Samuel told Saul exactly what God said to do. And Saul gathered up his armed forces and he went down to Amalek and he destroyed much. But he didn't destroy all. And he kept back some. And why? I don't totally know. He said that they were going to sacrifice it to the Lord. And I don't know what he had in mind. But Saul didn't have an obedient heart. And the Lord told Samuel, he said, the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and he said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. Because Saul only did part of what God said to do. This morning, I feel like the Lord's laid this on my heart. God wants us to follow him wholeheartedly. It's not for us to say, Lord, I follow you 90% of the way, but I don't want to do this other. Or for whatever reason, I think it'll be more to your glory for me to do it this way. God doesn't allow that kind of place. And he told Samuel, he said, Saul has turned back from following me. He gave him no credit at all for all that he had done. He said, he's disobeyed me. He's turned back. And it says here, and when Samuel... And Saul said, now Samuel had asked, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? If you've done the commandment of the Lord, Saul, you say you've done the commandment of the Lord. What does this mean that I hear this bleating of the sheep? Why are they here then when you were supposed to destroy them all? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. It's hard to stand in the presence of God and answer for disobedience that we still hold up for, isn't it? It's hard to do that. Adam stood in the presence of God and gave account. And he said, the woman that you gave me. What Adam should have done was fell on his face and said, oh God, I have transgressed and I have done wrong. And some of the men that we read about in the Bible did that. David being one of them did that. But Saul here, he argued with Samuel. He says here, he goes on to start blaming it on someone else here after he told Samuel he had done what the Lord told him to. And Saul said, verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites. They have. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee? The Lord anointed you, Saul, when you was little, and you had a heart of humble submission, and all you wanted to do was say amen to the will of God. The Lord anointed you, Saul, to be king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Saul, why did you do this? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought back, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. You know, Saul didn't take his responsibility very well, did he? And Samuel said, and listen to these words this morning, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Is the Lord looking for our sacrifices and our burnt offerings? He was looking for that from Saul. He actually was. But he wanted something way more than that. He just wanted obedience. Those that we follow, that followed God, Abraham, all the prophets, the kings that followed God, they were obedient to the Lord. That was their trademark. Who were they? Were they great people? No, they were people that were obedient to the Lord. That was his That was what he was looking for, an obedient, willing heart to do all the will of the Lord, an honest heart. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen to the Lord, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." You know, he got pretty strong on him here. He called this rebellion. He said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Saul, this little thing you did isn't little. "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king." Oh, that cut. Now judgment was laid. I want to tell you something. There's going to be a time of judgment for us this morning. "And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and thy words because," and there's always some reason, "because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I feared them more than I feared you, Lord. Samuel, that's what was wrong. I feared the people, and I did this thing." But the Lord had made Saul king. He had given him that place and anointed him to be in that place. "And I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not turn again. I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." This morning, I just want to reason with us a little bit. The word of the Lord is precious to us. We read some of the promises of God to his people. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. The word of the Lord speaks to us. It calls us, turn from your way. It tells us, I want you to make it in. The Lord is calling. He's working with us. He's trying his best to work with each one of us. But I will tell you something. There is something within the unregenerated heart that is disobedient to God. It doesn't follow the ways of God. It doesn't follow all the ways of God. Seems like we live in a world today where there's so many that profess some form of godliness, but they deny the power of it in their life to really follow and serve the Lord all the way. And we can be that way too if we are not very careful. The flesh will be selfish and sinful if we allow it. It sure will. If it's not regenerated and kept in that place with the Lord, the flesh. And if we're not careful, we'll follow those before us, like Adam, like Saul, that did not follow and instead justified their way. I want to read in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. The Lord's just been talking to me. I'm just going to share it with you. I love the word of the Lord. Let it come, Lord. I need your word so badly. 6 and 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" There's unrighteousness on every hand. Rosie was telling me about a situation not here that she knows of, and I was so shocked. I couldn't believe what she was telling me that these wicked and sinful men had done to someone we know. And I'm like, I can't believe that. It's the wicked and sinful heart of people. And it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" All around us is being justified every form of thing that God said, don't do that. And it goes on to say, Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. I want to tell you, it's hard to believe what we see today as being accepted. Effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. We call them gays today. We don't look at them with hatred or any kind of anger in that way. But we feel for them. God's wrath is upon that thing. But it doesn't stop there. The religious world is beginning to accept it, which we hardly can believe. But I want to give you something in the fear of God, as kindly as I know how. All of us need to beware of the philosophies, the vain philosophies all around us that legitimize and make way for things that God said don't do. It goes on to say there, neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers also. You know, this morning we look at the terrible people of life, the things that wicked men do, with disdain. But not everything seems so wicked. And I want to just give us this warning in the fear of God. In Luke 16 and 18, the Lord has told us here, He said, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. I want to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. The word of the Lord tells us not to be remarried while our companion is still living. And I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to face judgment soon. All of us are. And I want to tell you, it's going to be on His terms. It's going to be on His terms. God, speak to our hearts. Settle it in your hearts, folks. I will always be the way God wants me to be. I will settle that in my heart, Lord. I want to keep myself. Because when I stand before you, I don't want to be like Saul. I don't want you to say to me what you said to Saul. What meaneth this? When you was little in your own sight, when you took my word for what it was. You know, this morning, God speaks to us. He calls to us, folks. Have a heart. Have a heart that's obedient to the voice of the Lord, to the words of the Lord. Oh, how He calls. Oh, how He wants us to make it. Oh, what a price He paid. Oh, what promises He made to us. Obedience is better than all the other things we can offer God in life. I want to share a couple other things this morning. James 3 and 14. We find in life that many times people, good people, begin to be moved upon by feelings that God has no part of. He says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. You know, this morning, there's things that touch us right here if we're not careful. Don't ever let bitter envying and strife into your heart and lie against the truth. And tell God, Lord, I'm one of your children here. I want to do your will. And then we have bitter envying and strife and ugly ways about us. I want to tell you, we'll never stand before God in that way. The Lord said, I'll take that stony heart of unbelief, that stony heart of disobedience, that heart that wants to do its own thing. I'll take it out of you and I'll give you a heart and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Oh, how the Lord wants to give us a heart that's obedient this morning. That's a work of God. We can't do it on our own. The unregenerated heart, it goes on to say here, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. What I have found in dealing with people is that where you find bitter envying and strife, you will find the works of the flesh. You dig just a little bit and you'll begin to find where there are things that crop up that are evil along with that. It's just the way it is because it's all part of that heart that's not obedient to God. This morning, I just want to share these things with us. God help us that we can follow Him wholeheartedly and not with the part that we like to follow. The world all around us is following Him partly, but God doesn't accept that. The scripture says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You know, the Lord wants to give us the opposite of contention in our lives and in our homes. He wants to give us the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our lives. Only by pride cometh contention. How does contention come? Well, when my wife says so and so. That's not when contention comes. It's when pride comes up in my heart that contention comes. You know, we have to humble ourselves in humble submission to God. Humble submission to His Word. And then He wants to live in our life. And He said, I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. It'll be that way. It'll be that powerful. I'll cause you to be able to walk in my statutes this morning. Oh, I want to do that. I want to live that way. I was thinking about the world this morning. All around us, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. You know, we can go 90% and we can still love the world. It's a danger, a constant danger to us to be careful to not love the world or the things that are in the world. And for some reason He put that little addition, neither the things that are in the world. You know, this morning we have to examine where we're at. Lord, am I living that humble, godly life that brings credit to You, that brings glory and honor to You? The Lord wants to do that for us this morning. He wants to give us life and peace. I'm going to read on just a little bit here. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then it's peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I want to tell you something. You make peace. You sow that fruit. You sow that seed, and righteousness is the result. Righteousness, peace, joy, good behavior, the opposite of animosity in our homes and in our lives. God wants to give us that. He wants to give us a pure heart that does His will. Will we be tempted? Yes, we will be tempted. No righteous man wants to be tempted. But I want to tell you something. God wants to give us a will to do His will in spite of whatever the devil puts up in our life. Whatever he brings, whatever he offers in your life. An obedient heart. One that's willing to do the will of God over our will. One that's willing to be humble in submission to what the Lord wants. Just a few other scriptures. 1 Peter 1 and 14. It says here, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, we ought to pass the time of our sojourning here in fear. We ought to realize We're facing a mighty God. We want our ways to be accepted of Him. And it's not some science, folks. It's humbling ourselves to the will of God. But I want to tell you, the heart of man can be exceedingly deceitful. Above all things, it's the most deceitful thing in the world. And it will deceive us if we are not careful. I want to be able to meet the Lord in peace. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That comes from an obedient heart that humbles itself in submission to the will of God. And not to my will, not 90% to His will, but humbles ourselves to Him. In Luke 13 and 23, "Then said one unto Him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Why would somebody not be able to enter in at the difficult gate, the straight, narrow, difficult place? Because our flesh can't go there. Our will can't go there. Our pride can't go there. And so we have to strip that stuff off of us. And not very many are really willing to do that. I want to challenge us this morning. God wants us to make it in. And He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, at that narrow and difficult gate. Because it is difficult on the flesh. We have to die to our flesh if we want to make it in. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Folks, this is for eternity. This is not something where we decide here what we think or believe. It is for eternity. And He says, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. We've heard the word of the Lord. We've felt your presence. We've seen you move. We've seen you do things. You've been there. We've been in the midst of it. And Lord, we know who you are. But He's going to say something. It says here, but He shall say, I tell you not. I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. I want to leave us with that this morning. The words of the Lord are heavy words sometimes. The word of the Lord wants to save us from ourselves. He wants to be able to say at that last day, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He wants to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But I will tell you, there's going to be many, and He tells us there's going to be a lot more that He's going to have to say, depart from me. I know you not whence you are, all you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. But Lord, we know you. We know who you are. You taught in our streets. We saw you. We saw you were all these things. He's going to say, you workers of iniquity. That's where it is. The Lord has to give us a heart of obedience to do all the will of God. He'll take this stony heart out of us, and He'll give us a heart that is soft, that will follow all the will of God, if we'll let Him this morning. Amen.